Have you ever considered the fact that the Bible is the most up-to-date book of all time? In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And he refers to the Word of God, the book that we know as the Bible. Now, unlike the writings of men, and the best of encyclopedias, which soon lose their value and need to be rewritten to keep up with the changing time, the Bible abides changelessly true. Had it one single error in it, my friend, it must take its place alongside of Aesop's fables. But thank God, it is true. It's true from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible reaches into every field of human understanding, whether it is geology, astronomy, biology, zoology, physiology, history, and even sanitary science. And in contrast to the great writings of the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans, which are saturated with mythology, superstition, and fantasy, filled with scientific blunders, in contrast to this, I say, the Bible stands today without a single proven error after 34 centuries of scholarship. I would like to quote what Dr. William Pollard, a distinguished atomic physicist, executive director of the Institute of Nuclear Studies at Oak Ridge, says. I quote, "Everywhere I go, I run into scientists and university professors who have followed the same path I did into the Christian faith. Not because of any cataclysmic personal crisis, but simply because they found in it the ultimate answer to man's deepest questions. Thank God we have in the Word of God the answer to your deep question, the answer to all the questions that men ask." And I wish to draw attention today to one of the amazing and unmistakable imprints that we see on this book of books that marks it out not only as a book that is remarkable, but as God's infallible word. And what is that? It is the fact of the fulfilled prophecies of the book, accurate to the letter. In every detail we see hundreds of them literally fulfilled. For instance, in connection with Daniel's prophecies concerning the empires that rose after his prophecy, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally the Roman Empire. Why, the critics say that he must have been a historian because the details were so accurate. But no, beloved listener, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24:15 confirms him as Daniel the prophet. And God's prophecies through Daniel stand. Many have been completely fulfilled. And yet there are others that await fulfillment. And we see the stage being set for those fulfillments today. Ezekiel also in his prophecy is remarkable in the many prophecies that have been fulfilled. I draw attention to one of them particularly, and that is concerning the city of Tyre. It's most interesting. It was 260 years prior to the event that God, through Ezekiel, foretold the destruction of Tyre by Alexander the Great. And he even described just how the city would be leveled flat and its stones and timbers cast into the sea. Now, Alexander the Great did just that. He used everything in the city, scraping out its very earth, to build a causeway to finally defeat the Phoenicians. But the prophecy didn't stop there. It says that Tyre will never be rebuilt. And for 2,500 years, that prophecy has stood in the stands today. Now let me consider another prophecy of Ezekiel. 2,000 years before it happened, Ezekiel prophesied that the golden gate of Jerusalem would be sealed. Now, in 1543 A.D., it was sealed by the Arabs. Now, Ezekiel also said that it would not be opened again for man to enter through, but would be reserved for the day that the prince, and I quote, the prince, would again make his triumphant entry into the city. Now, over 400 years, this gate has stood sealed. The Kaiser, in World War I, had intended to enter Jerusalem, but we know how that event turned out. God has reserved the gate, the golden gate of Jerusalem, to be sealed until Christ himself comes and enters it in triumph. This is an amazing thing. And then I want you to think, dear listener, of the Jew himself. Look at all his early contemporaries. They're all gone. And yet the Jew, who's been hunted by the Egyptians and the Persians and the Babylonians and the Romans, he's been purged by the powers of Europe. Yet the Jew remains today. What is this? It's a fulfillment of the scripture when God says in the Bible, I quote, "Yet will I leave a remnant." Now, the Bible completely foretold the history of the Jewish people. We find in Deuteronomy and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and I read, I quote, "And they shall be wanderers among the nations. Thou shalt be an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations. I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, to taunt and a curse. The Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee." Unquote. Is not this the history of the Jew completely foretold? It certainly is. But now let me read another scripture from Isaiah 11, and Jeremiah 33, and Ezekiel 11, and Amos 9. A scripture that we see being fulfilled today. "And it shall come to pass," I quote, "that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God." Now, don't you see that which has made the news in this country and is making it today was prophesied in the year 587 B.C. I tell you, dear friend, the Bible is a remarkable book. And God is going to see that all the prophecies are to be fulfilled. But now I turn to that which is of most particular significance and of basic importance. It's that which deals with the whole theme of the book, the subject of prophecy. I refer to the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, in the New Testament, we have over 300 of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled as recorded in the Gospels. This is an amazing thing. It puts its stamp upon the Word of God as being what it is, the infallible guide and record and revelation of God. And it also sets before us the person whom you need, the Lord Jesus Christ. The living Word is the one whom you need. He alone has the answer to your questions, the solution for your problems. He is the Savior you need. Sin has ruined you. It has ruined the whole human race. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come. When the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son. Come of a woman. Come under the law. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he came according to Scripture. He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, according to the Scriptures. I want that you should think upon these things today, dear listener, because it is God that you have to do with. And if you would only realize the reality of the Word of God, the power that is in it, Oh, the supremacy of that one before whom you must bow. Oh, you will bow before him now in grace and receive his word. You receive his word. His word is life to your soul. If you reject it, that same word will judge you. But I would like to draw attention to just a couple of the prophecies, which you will no doubt recall as they are mentioned. The first one you'll remember, in Micah we read in chapter 5 and verse 2, the prophet declares the place where the Lord Jesus was to be born, in Bethlehem. And when we turn to the New Testament in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 5, we hear the Spirit of God through Matthew declaring that that was fulfilled to the letter. The Lord Jesus was born at Bethlehem. Consider with me next Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah said that he would be born of a virgin, and his name would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. We have only but to turn to Matthew and Luke, and we read of the actual, literal fulfillment of this prophecy. It was accomplished when Christ was born. His name was called Jesus and Emmanuel. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. This is the marvelous thing. God has arranged that Scripture should be fulfilled. It is true that critics say that he deliberately arranged to fulfill these prophecies. Well, they are absolutely correct, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, as God himself was the one who arranged things for the redemption of mankind. And in this we see his love declared as the purposes of his grace are unfolded. Let me draw your attention to a third one in Psalm 22, where the psalmist, that is David there, he described the very method of Christ's execution centuries before the Romans introduced death by crucifixion. David, the writer, Zechariah, the prophet, how did they know this? Why, this is simply another proof of the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They pierced his hands and his feet, we read. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet there tells us much that was to happen to Jesus. One of the things that stands out is that he was to be numbered with the transgressors. Now, when did this take place? We have only but to turn to Luke chapter 23. The Spirit of God declares that there he was crucified at Calvary amongst two malefactors, and himself in the midst. Yes, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was there that he died for sinners, the just for the unjust. It was that one malefactor that turned to him and received him by simple faith. He was blessed. The other malefactor died, so far as we know, in his sins. And the cross is that which divides the whole human race into two classes. Which side of the cross are you on? Consider another prophecy. Zechariah writes that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Is not this the exact amount that Judas bargained for? And is it not true also that according to the same prophet Zechariah, that a plot of ground was to be bought with that money? You know how this was fulfilled. You turn to Matthew 26 and 27, you'll see how this was literally fulfilled. Another amazing witness to the accuracy of the Word of God. Another prophecy of David and Zechariah. You recall that they speak of him being pierced and his garment divided and lots cast for his robe. Was this fulfilled to the letter? Matthew and John record this remarkable incident. Dear friend, does not this speak to you that there is something wonderful about this book, a book that declares all what God has done for your salvation? Oh, I know that men don't want this book. They don't like this book because it tells the truth, that men have sinned and come short of God's glory. They do not deserve his grace. They're hopelessly lost. But oh, will you not realize that this is why the Savior came? This was why on the cross he fulfilled all the prophecies concerning him for your salvation, for the redemption of all who will receive him. Psalm 69 gives us another prophecy. Vinegar was to be given to him to drink. On Calvary's cross, was not this so? It was. Matthew tells us about it. They gave him vinegar to drink. Vinegar mingled with gall also. When he tasted, he would not drink. Amazing, I say. And again, David in Psalm 34, he says, not a bone of him was to be broken. John writes of the soldiers, you recall, that came to Jesus to break his leg. And when they came to him, having broken the legs of the two thieves, they found that Jesus was already dead. I'll tell you, friend, no man took the life of Jesus from him. In love, he laid it down, according to the commandment of his Father, as a sin offering for you. He laid it down in power, and he took it again in resurrection. But this is a prophecy that was fulfilled. Not a bone of him was to be broken, and it wasn't. Now all this, of these 9 different prophecies that I've mentioned, there are 291 more, at least, in the New Testament, of things which Jesus did or had done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. I say, does not this speak to you? There is not a possibility at all, not the slightest possibility, that this happened at all by chance, that these fulfillments of scripture were by chance. In conclusion, I would press upon you this fact, that just as these prophecies have been fulfilled, so shall those that are still future, those that we see, are to be fulfilled in the last days. The signs of those very fulfillments we see today. Those days are upon us, dear friend. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is nigh at hand. The day of grace is fast coming to a close. How do we know? Let me just quote a few of the prophecies. The Lord Jesus says, I quote Luke 21, upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Now the world has always known distress, but only recently has perplexity set in dead earnest, the whole world over. Another one in Matthew 24, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And again, they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. And then another one in Daniel. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And then again to Matthew 24, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, dear listening friend, these are some of the prophecies that are still to be fulfilled. But we see the shadow of these things all around us today. The coming of the Lord is right at hand. The day of grace will soon close. Be ye therefore ready. The only way that you can be ready is to be born again, to trust Christ as your personal Savior, knowing that you have sinned against him, and accept him as the one that died for you. Oh, how is it, Jesus said, that ye do not discern this time? Are you blinded to it? Are you not aware that the time clock of God's grace is fast running out? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Be convinced that the Bible is true. It's God's word, and it's been written for your blessing. Woe be to the one that does not heed it. Blessed is the one who hears his word and believes. Of such the Lord Jesus says, he hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. May God bless these words to each one. Loving God our Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we simply ask thy blessing upon it today, that every listener will accept it as thy word and receive the one thy word presents as personal Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it all and give thee thanks. Amen.